Psalm 100. Psalm 100. I shared Sunday and the Sunday before that I'm going to be sharing some passages of Scripture and that I really enjoy, and ones that stand out to me. And Psalm 100 is one of my favorites, along with Psalm 139. I like Psalm 139 as well. Going to look at some things about worshiping the Lord with gladness. And I heard John Piper say one time that the reason that missions exist is because worship doesn't. And I had to think about that as he said it, and as he went along in his book, Let the Nations Be Glad. If you haven't read that book, it's a small paperback book. I encourage you to get it. Let the Nations Be Glad. It's a really good book. And in that book, he said, the reason that missions exist is because worship doesn't. And what he was literally meaning in that was, is that there are people all over the world who don't know God, who don't know the Lord. And so that is the fuel that drives missions. That the heart of every believer is to take the gospel to a people that don't know Christ. They don't have joy. They don't have gladness. And so that is the fuel that drives them, and that is the reason. I want us to, that is something that's always stuck with me. I hope that always sticks with you as well. But in this small chapter of Psalm 100, there are seven commands. And we're going to look at these, okay? So I hope that you write these down. There are seven commands. The first set of commands ends with a reminder, okay? So let me just give you real quick the seven commands that we're going to be looking at in Psalm 100. One of them is shout, worship, come, know, enter, give thanks, and praise. And so the first set of commands ends with a reminder that He made us and we are His. The final commands are followed by three statements. For the Lord is good, for His love endures forever, and His faithfulness continues through all generations. Now I'll go back over these in a little bit. So, but we're going to look at each one of these as we go down through here. But we're going to read this psalm first. So let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we just thank You again for the wonderful time and privilege and opportunity to be able to gather as Your people tonight. As we gather in this sanctuary, Father, we also know that we have youth that are gathering in the youth building and children in the children's building. And Father, we pray that God, You would work and move and speak in ways that only You can. And Father, as we look at this psalm from 100, Lord, I pray that You will just burn it into our hearts, and our hearts and our minds, to be a joyful people, to come before You with glad hearts, because You and You alone are worthy to be praised and to be honored and to be glorified. Let us remind ourselves every day that we wake up that You have died for a wretch like me. And You have called me and set me apart to be a proclaimer of the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, You are rich in mercy. And Your mercy goes further than we can ever even imagine or think. So Lord, tonight, press upon our hearts the joy of this psalm. In Your name we pray. Amen. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness and come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God, and it is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This is one of my favorite psalms. This is a psalm that is opened up in many churches as an opening benediction to their service. But as we look at this and as we break this down just a little bit, the very first thing that we see is shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. I saw a sign the other day that says something to this nature, that if you're happy in the Lord, then tell your face about it. Because your face isn't giving off any indication that you're happy in the Lord. And that you're rejoicing in the Lord. And that you're happy in the Lord. I've said this for years, that the most joyful and happiest people on the face of the earth are people who love Christ and who know that God has been the one who's changed their life. And here He's saying, shout for joy to the Lord. I mean, can I ask us a question? And I'm putting myself in this. When's the last time that you shouted to the Lord with joy? That all the earth, that they see the joy in your life. You see, a joyful and merciful God should be served by joyful and merciful people. When we began to break it down and we began to look at it, we began to see what He's done in our life. That He's rescued us, according to Ephesians, from the dominion of darkness. And according to Colossians chapter 1, that He's rescued us from the dominion of darkness. That He's taken us from death to life. And He's given us not only life, but He's given us what? Life eternal. That it will never fade, it will never spoil forever and ever and ever. You and I have eternal life. No matter what comes our way in this world, no matter what comes our way this week or this month, because we are born again and because our faith is in Him, we have life eternal. So a joyful and merciful God should be served by joyful and merciful people. There should never be a Sunday that we don't come into these doors joyful. Now, I know sometimes that we go through hard times and it's hard to be joyful. And we even know that the psalmist said, to restore to me what? The joy of my salvation. It didn't say to restore to my salvation. Rejoice to me the joy of my salvation. Now, Satan, the enemy, wants to destroy your joy. He wants you to mope around. He wants you to look unhappy. He wants you to live in sadness. He wants you to live in darkness. He wants you to live isolated. But what happens when we set ourselves and we remind ourselves of the goodness of God every single day? Now, I don't do this every day, and I confess that, and I should. And that's a reminder to me that we should remind ourselves every day of the goodness of God in our life. But He says here to shout for joy. And when I'm talking about shouting, I'm saying, shout. 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 Shout for joy to the Lord. We shout of what? We shout of His goodness. Think about your life. And think about all the blessings in your life. And think about His goodness in your life. I mean, let's just pause. You ever pause? Pause for a minute. Be still. And what? Know that I am God. Pause for a moment and just think about how good He has been to you. It wasn't too long ago, and I'm going to use Daryl for this. That he was out on a call, and there was a car that come careening and almost hit Daryl. I mean, he called me later on. He said, man, I just about met Jesus today. And you could just tell it may not have been joyful at that time, but he was joy that he was alive and joyful that the Lord was watching over him. The other day, I'm coming across the Beltline. I don't remember what day it was this week. Monday? I think it was Monday. And man, this car just come over in my lane. And all I could do was just hit the right-hand side, thanking the Lord that there was no one on my side. Because if I didn't go over, I would have hit head-on. And man, as I got down to the light and I was still kind of gathering myself, I just remember just praising the Lord and thanking God for His protection. When we think about His goodness, the other day I was thinking about Jack. He went fishing below the dam or around the dam. And I said, "Did you go near the locks?" "No, I was on the other side." But I thought about the time that he and Kay and Brent got caught up in the locks and how he was rescued from that. And I remember Brent telling me, man, they were trying to give the life jackets to Kay and the coolers to Kay. And they were telling her to hang on for dear life to these coolers and to these life jackets and all this. And they were pulled from that. The goodness of God. And so we have the goodness of God in our life. It doesn't negate that there's not going to be times in your life that are hard. There are not going to be times in your life that are tough. We shout for God because of His grace. What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is something that we don't deserve. Grace is greater than what? All of our sin. So we should shout for joy at the goodness of God. Shout for joy at the grace of God in our life. What we really deserve, and I don't even have to mention it because you already know it, but what we really don't deserve, is Him. And I was going to say heaven, but heaven's not heaven without God. Without Christ, Christ is what makes heaven heaven. And so we shout for joy because of the grace of God. We shout to God because of His mercies in our life. So shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Secondly, serve, worship the Lord with gladness. Look what it says. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. You see, He is to be served with joy. I'm pausing here. How you ever stop and thought, how is God to be served? With joy. If you serve and it's a burden to you, it's not in joy. You and I are to serve wherever we're serving for the joy of the Lord. We don't serve for people to look at us. We don't serve for the praise of people for our lives and, hey, look what I'm doing. No, we serve out of gladness for what He is doing. If our mindset is set on doing for the Lord, then it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. Because you are happy and you know it. And go ahead and clap your hand. No, I'm kidding you. So yeah. And so we serve. I had to. It just popped in my head. So we serve out of joy. You see, the joy of the Lord will come out of a new relationship with Him. The joy of the Lord will come out of a relationship with Him, and every act of worship is an act of service. And every act of service done for the Lord is an act of worship. Can I say that one more time? Every act of worship is an act of service, and every act of service is done for the Lord is an act of worship. So let me just use this for an example. I know there's a group that goes and builds ramps. And why do they do that? They do that to be servants of the Lord. They do that to serve the Lord and to serve the one they're doing it for. In their obedience, in doing what they're supposed to be doing for the Lord, do you know what that is? That is what? An act of worship. And so in doing that, you're doing that joyfully to the Lord. And so when we're worshiping, it says worship the Lord, serve the Lord with gladness. We don't serve Him because we are in bondage to Him. We don't serve Him because we're in bondage to Him. You serve Him because you're free. You're free from the penalty of sin, and you're now free to serve Him wholeheartedly. And so we serve Him in gladness because we're not in bondage, but because we are free. Where do we serve Him? Where do we serve Him? But let's be specific. Where are places that we serve Him? Okay, yes, because these are things I have written down. I've written down some. We serve Him in our home. So what does that look like when you're serving Him in your home? What does that look like? Getting in the Word? Prayer? Teaching your kids? Teaching your family? What else? What does it look like? Serving Him in the home. Taking out the trash. Thank you, Lewis. That's what we do together. That's what I was kind of looking for. All of them are great. But how you treat each other. How you serve one another. You know, one of the things I do when I sit down in marriage counseling is I want to share with that young couple that's getting married, you're not in this for you. You're in this for them. If you're in this relationship for what you get out of it, you're going to be very disappointed. If you're in this relationship for what your spouse gets out of it, then you're in it for the right reason. And I always encourage young people, I said, you need to have a date night. You need to make sure that you all do something together to keep that fire going and to keep that relationship going. And I always encourage them to do this. If I'm going to use Kevin and Sheila for an example here. So if Kevin was planning a date for Sheila, what would that look like? Now, you believe me or not, a lot of people say, oh, just dinner at home and sit on a couch and veg out. But a lot of times when we plan a date, we want to plan a date rounded what we want. But when we do it to serve our spouse and think, okay, what is it that Cammy wants? What does she enjoy doing? And so I'm planning this date not for what I want, but I'm serving her and I want to plan it out of everything that she likes doing. And then next week, vice versa. And what you're doing is you're serving one another, and also you're teaching your kids and your grandkids, you're serving your spouse. See, I'm telling you, and you know this, I don't have to tell you, kids pick up on everything. I mean, they pick up on everything. So therefore, if your kids and your grandkids see you serving each other, there's no greater teacher than to be serving and letting them see you serving. And so we serve at home. Okay, another place is serving at church. Serving at church. How do we serve at church? What are some ways we can serve at church? What does that look like? Yeah. Setting up tables, setting up chairs, taking down tables, taking down chairs, washing dishes, delivering meals. If it's raining, grabbing an umbrella, helping people inside. I mean, there's numerous ways to serve, making sure the tables are decorated, making sure the communion table is decorated, sound, security, teaching. I mean, it is broad, but thinking outside the box, you know, sometimes we don't think like this. Okay, what if it's raining Sunday? Do we think, okay, well, I just don't want to get wet. I got to make sure I wear my raincoat. Or what about getting there early and grabbing some umbrellas and helping people in? I'm going to get there. You don't have to. Listen, I'm going to give you this permission, okay? And I'm pretty sure Nate will be okay with this. You don't have to ask permission to grab an umbrella and have people get come in. Do I have to be voted on that? Is that a committee that I need? You don't have to be voted on to be a committee to serve. I don't want to step, you know, I don't want to make someone upset for getting an umbrella and going out there to help someone in. That's ridiculous. Grab your umbrella, get a big one. As a matter of fact, go to Walmart, buy one in big ones. They cover all three of you. And help everyone in. Get there early. And you know what? That's something that you can do with your spouse. You can do it together. Serve together. Something you can do with your kid. Hey, let's go. We go help people in. That's just one example of many. So there's a lot of ways you can serve at church. The shrubbery looks amazing. Something Sheila took on a few years ago. And she recruited Kevin. There's so much. Just simply writing a card to shut-ins. Maybe a text or a phone call. You know, a lot of times it goes a long way when it's someone other than a pastor. Because a lot of times when a pastor does it, oh, he's supposed to do it. He's paid to do that. But when they get it from you, I'm going to tell you someone who's really good at that is Diane Goss. She's very thoughtful that way. So we serve Him. You serve Him, worship Him with gladness, and you're doing it with joy. There's another place you can do it at. Serve Him at work. You could serve Him at work. You see, you don't just serve at home or at church. You also could serve at work. So let me ask you this. What does that look like? How does that look like? Work. Yeah. Instead of having one of them you could smile and say, what else? How can you serve at work? Do your job. Do your job.
Somebody's having a bad day, maybe try to see if you can help them.
Do you think there's anyone that has bad days at work? Absolutely. Serve the Lord with gladness and joy. What are some other ways? Now, see, I've worked at the church for 30 years. You're out in the workplace. It's kind of different a little bit.
Your reactions at work when bad things happen, people.
Yes, your reactions at work and
how you handle
it. Do you react differently at work than you do at church? Should be the same, right? Should be the same. And so you serve the Lord at work. You serve the Lord at home. You serve the Lord at church. If you go to school, you serve the Lord at school. And so we worship the Lord with gladness. And it says, come. There's a command. Shout, worship, come. Come before Him with joyful songs and singing. You can't get out of that. It's a command. To come before Him with joyful songs and singing before the Lord. I love to sing. I don't know if y'all know that or not. But I love to sing. I just wish I could sing better. But I love to sing. And again, the joy of the Lord will come out of a new relationship with Him. And He put a song in my heart a long time ago. And I still have that song in my heart. I've had people say, you know, you don't retire from ministry. You don't. You don't. Never. Not retiring from ministry. Not retiring from preaching. I can't. It's in me to sing. It's in me to worship. It's in me to come before the Lord with song and worship Him. So it's in me to come before Him. Isaac Watts said, "Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God, but favorites of the heavenly King must speak His praise abroad. Let those who refuse to sing, who never knew our God, but favorites of the heavenly King, must speak His praise abroad." Third, know that the Lord, He is God. Know that the Lord, He is God. He is the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are one in the same. They're not different. They are the triune God. Now, I know that's hard to comprehend in our minds and separate that, but you have to nail this down in the foundation of your theology and in your doctrine. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the triune God, they are one. So, know that the Lord, He is God. He is God alone. There is no other gods. Every other god that you hear is a small g. The God that we serve is the one, Paul Washer wrote a book on it, the one true God. I gave it to Matthew. He's taking it with him to Florida. Matthew Willard. The one true God. I said, I want you to eat it up. And so know that He is God. He is God alone. We are to know Him in His fullness, and we are to know Him in His character. The attributes of God. Our mission statement here at Waldo is what? It's a test question right now. To know God and make Him known. Simple. It's on our boards out there. To know God. Doesn't stop there. And make Him known. So what happens when you know God fully? It's a trick question. So when we talk about knowing God fully, do you know God fully? Y'all are looking at me and listen to me. God is so huge and so vast and expansive so far, we are getting to know God. God is revealing Himself to us through His Word, and we are knowing God more fully. And so to know God, and then as you know God and as you grow in Him, you know what's going to happen? You're going to want to make Him known to the world. There is a problem if you don't want to make Him known. Something isn't right. Because when you begin to know God, you're going to want to make Him known. All I have to do is come to you and say, "Tell me about your grandkids." "Oh my goodness, we're going to sit down for a while. I mean, we're at Chick-fil-A on Tuesdays. Jack shows us pictures of his great-grandkids. And he has a smile on. He doesn't have this Eeyore look on his face. Like, brr. No, he tells me about what they do. He tells me what they say and how they boss him around and how they lead him around. And you know what? He has this look that comes over his face like, this is my world. Think about the Lord. It's making Him know that the Lord, He is our God. To show and prove our knowing Him. To show and to prove our knowing Him by our obedience. By our obedience. I'm going to give you some things to write down here. So we make Him known by our obedience. By our trust. By our trust. By our submission. By submitting to Him and submitting to His authority, by our zeal. How else do we make Him known? By our love. By our love for one another. By our love for God and by our love for one another. So know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who what? Who made us, and we are His. I mean, think about that for a minute. You are God's. You have been bought with a price. And that price is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You see, some live as though they made themselves. You know what that's called? Self-made.
There are people who
say, I am a self-made millionaire. I am a self-made. And you know what they're doing? They're putting every emphasis on self. I got here because of my hard work. I got here because of this. I got here because... You are where you are, and you are who you are by the grace of God. And that is the same for myself. It is He, capital H, capital E. That's in my notes. It drives me crazy whenever God is in the little letter. I change it. I know it's not proper grammar and stuff, but anytime I see God and it's in the pronoun form, it is capital. And it is He who made us, and we are His. Believers recognize their being and their well-being. Believers recognize their being and their well-being. Oh, you and I, we are here tonight because of God's goodness. But here's the good news. If we're not here tonight, we're with Him by His goodness. So Paul was saying in Philippians, it's win-win. It's a win-win situation. And so it is He who made us, and we are His. So God doesn't make junk. One of the greatest speakers I love to listen to at the Sing Conference. And there's John Piper, there's Alistair Begg, I mean, there's John MacArthur, there's all these. But do you know who my favorite speaker is? Can y'all guess? She's in a wheelchair. Johnny Eric Santata. She said one of the first things she's going to do on those new knees or new legs is to fall on her knees and worship God. The first thing she's going to do in a glorified body is to fall on her knees and worship God, because it is He who made her. Is she there by an accident? Absolutely not. Fanny Crosby? Y'all know who Fanny Crosby is? One of the hymn writers who lived to be 95 years old. In 90 years of her life, she was blind. And she gave all glory to God. She wrote many of your hymns that you sing today. So whenever you're reading some of those hymns or singing some of those hymns, look, see if Fanny Crosby wrote it. Actually, go and get a hymn book and go and look up some of her songs and read the words of it. What caused her to do that? She didn't play a victim. She was a servant who said, God made me. It is He who made us, and we are His. It says we are His people. The sheep of His pasture. The sheep of His pasture. I mean, there's no greater pasture than God's pasture. If you're in the pasture of God, you're taken care of. I mean, think about that. I mean, your grass isn't going to go dry. I mean, our grass right now is dry, right? I mean, it is. You crunch when you walk. But in God's pasture, it's green. I mean, it is fresh, it is green, and He's going to take care of His. It is an honor to be chosen by God. We are guided by His wisdom. We are tended by His grace and His care. And we are fed by His provisions. Sheep look to the shepherd. Sheep look to the shepherd. If I was going to encourage you, as I'm rounding out, always look to the shepherd. We encourage one another by looking to the shepherd. You can't go wrong keeping your eyes on the shepherd. Our songs and singing should bear the facts that God is good and He alone is enough to satisfy us. He alone is enough to satisfy us. This world's not going to satisfy you. Relationships aren't going to satisfy you. Your marriage isn't going to satisfy you. Your job, your money, your political stance. It's a mess out there. One thing I do know is the Lamb wins. And the Lamb has already won. And so keep your eyes on the shepherd. And look what it says. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. You see, the atonement sacrifices have ended, but our sacrifices of gratitude and adoration will never end for the true believer. It will never end. God has blessed us now, and so we should always be blessing someone else. Why? Because God has blessed us. In what way are you being a blessing? This is a question for you. Question for me. In what way are you living out your life blessing someone else? You see, you and I have been blessed. And we're still getting blessed. And God blesses us every single day. In what way are you blessing someone else? You know, sometimes every now and then I'll go into Starnes. Or sometimes I'll go through McDonald's line and I'm getting ready to pay for my thing. And you know what they say? Someone's already got yours. And so then you what? You pay it forward. You see, someone blessed you, and so therefore you pay it forward. So as a Christian, you know what you're doing? You're paying it forward. Because God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing, you're paying it forward. And so you want to be a blessing to someone else. Here's the attitude of some people: I deserve the blessing. I don't want to bless anyone else because I deserve this. You won't be a blessing if you think you deserve blessings. Because you think you're owed it. And that's sometimes, if you're not careful, that's the world we live in. We live in a world and a society who thinks they're owed. Yeah, we are owed. But not in the way you think. You're owed with hell. You're owed with eternal separation. You're owed Sheol. But because of God's blessing in your life and because of His goodness in your life and because of the mercy in your life, you and I, to see those blessings, are to extend those blessings out to other people. Don't ever think that you're owed blessings of God because you're not. And I'm not either. And so, be a blessing, not a burden. Awkward silence, right? Be a blessing, not a burden. John Holmes used to say, attitude check. We play pickleball. And I've got this saying at pickleball where there's a court full of people. I'll say, listen, when I say attitude check, everyone stops and says, praise the Lord. Some people don't know what to think about that yet. But it's catching on. So there's a chance sometimes that we could be a burden. That we can always be critical. Be careful not to be critical. Be careful not to be a burden, but be a blessing. And I've got 3 minutes. For the Lord is good. This sums up His character and contains many reasons for praise. He is good, He is gracious, He is kind, and He is loving. His mercy is everlasting. It doesn't run out. God is not only mere justice wrath, He has a heart of compassion. Man, when I was reading today another passage of Scripture, I guess one of the passages of Scripture that blows me away too is His compassion for the thief on the cross. I mean, the thief deserved to be there. Jesus didn't. Two thieves, guilty, one man in the middle, perfectly innocent. And He was merciful and He was compassionate toward a thief, but that thief was repentant. And He said, "This day you will be with me in paradise." I mean, that is just an awesome, awesome just look of his compassion. And also there was, you know, His compassion among those who sheep without a shepherd, those who were going hungry, those who were blind, those who were lepers. No one else wanted to be around, couldn't be around. As a matter of fact, if you were a leper, you come down through the streets and you had to cry out, "Leper," so that everyone else can move. If you didn't cry out, "Leper," you'd be killed. Where everyone else ran from them, Jesus ran to them. And so, He is good. His mercy is everlasting. His faithfulness endures through all generations. It didn't stop at that generation. It didn't stop at the next generation. And it's not stopping with this generation. Because it's going to go through every generation. And so tonight, I hope that Psalm 100 speaks louder than it ever has to you in your life. Read it every Sunday before you come to church. That's awesome. If you would get in the habit of every Sunday before I come to church, I'm reading Psalm 100. Read it. Memorize it. Let's pray. Father, thank You once again for this time of opening up Your Word and looking at Your words that bounce off the pages of Scripture. And Lord, let it sear into our hearts and mind that we are to shout for joy all the earth, to enter Your courts with thanksgiving. And so, Father, as we enter our time of prayer, and as we bring up names to You tonight, Lord, we pray that You would work in and through each and every one of them according